appreciate your patience and attention during these long readings from John. Last week, it was even longer, if you can believe. So, we've heard that beautiful passage from Ezekiel where God speaks to him and asks him, O mortal, can these bones live? And this week I attended clergy conference, which we do once a year for a couple of days together with the clergy and the bishop, and usually in Soquel, just north of here. And so, of course, we talk about the church a lot. And one of the things I have really been focusing on in the last couple of weeks is the upcoming installation of the new Archbishop of Canterbury. If you have been following, how many of you have been following her pilgrimage? Which is just lovely. An archbishop has not done this for many years, but it used to be an old tradition to walk the way of Becket, who was a Archbishop of Canterbury many years ago. But one of the things in following this pilgrimage, I've been reading a lot more about the Church of England. And believe it or not, they are experiencing some awakening and growth in the church. Over the last 100 years, the Church of England has been in severe decline. I mean, just rapid decline. But in the last few years, the tide has begun to change and to turn. And one of the things that they have noticed in England, that the sale of Bibles has increased by 87% over the last 2 years. 75% of all young families with children have attended a church event in the last 12 months. 75%. So, I mean, that is huge. So they're seeing a resurgence of interest. I think people coming, because there's one thing of the gift of Anglican liturgy is beauty, and to just sit and listen to evening prayer or evensong and have a time of quiet and a place, a sacred place for reflection. So they are seeing this surge. In the United States, we're experiencing something very different in the moment, and we have this challenge of Christian nationalism that has been on the rise for several years, which does not fit in with our tradition or theology at all. And in fact, it has been a huge turnoff to many people for Christianity. So I think it, though, helps us to remember we're not in charge. God is always doing a new thing, even when we cannot see it. And sometimes we are pleasantly surprised that things can suddenly change. And another thing that struck me in the gospel today of Lazarus, this very long gospel, but is this whole concept of belief. And what, you know, how we understand belief and faith, for example, is really important. But one of the things I had recently read as well is a study that was conducted at Harvard by Dr. Ellen Langer, who was a professor of psychology. It's called the Chambermaid Study. So they took 84 maids in hotels and divided them in half, and there was the control group, which were told nothing, and then the other group of chambermaids were told that their work constituted as physical exercise and was good for their health. In just 4 weeks, the women who were told that work, their job was good for their health, lost weight, their blood pressure went down, their waistlines decreased, and the control group who were told nothing stayed the same. So it really does show that what we believe has an impact on our health. At least we know that. What we believe about reality has an impact. And I thought, you know, that's also true for the church. What do we believe? Do we sit around focusing on gloom and doom and nostalgia of what the church was like 30, 40 years ago when we had big Sunday school programs? And do we focus on that? You know, are we still stuck in the past, clinging to that? But it really... You know, it started me to, you know, wonder, what do we believe about ourselves? What do we believe about ourselves as the church? And do we believe that we're at a dead end that we cannot cross? You know, it's important for us to look at what's circulating in our nervous system. What are the beliefs that we have about the church? Because if we believe that it's all doom and gloom from here on out, that is going to impact, you know, the end result. But if we believe that God is still active and at work in the church, even though it doesn't look the same as it used to be, then that's going to have a very different kind of effect on where we end up. And so this morning when you came into the church, you were handed a sheet with a couple of questions. And I just want you to sit and kind of reflect on, what is it that I believe about the church in general and about our own church, All Saints? And what are the stones that get in the way? The stones that need to be rolled away. And also to work through, there's also grief. And we need to address our grief that the world has changed drastically post-COVID. Drastically. It doesn't look the way it used to. And we need to acknowledge that. We need to grieve that. We need to work through that. And in order, because that itself, grief itself, can be an obstacle to being open to receiving what the Spirit wants to do in us. And so I just want you to take a little time to reflect on that, and you can take it home with you and, you know, mull over it a little bit, but something to be thinking about, that what we believe about what we do and who we are has an impact on the health of the community. So I'm just going to give you a few moments, and if anyone would have something to share, please let me know. Yes, Arlen, if you would stand up so everybody can hear you.
So I think from the first set of questions, you have to sort of look at the glass of water, how full of the leader that normally is, it feels power positive.
Okay.
Be willing to listen.
Thank you. So, you know, is the glass half full? Is the glass half empty? Is a good understanding of that. Do you, yes, Gwen.
I'm thinking that perhaps our new roof is a symbol that we're protecting what's here and we're looking towards the future.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful example. So the fact that we would invest or raise the money to invest in what it's going to cost to replace the roof means that we believe in our future. Thank you. Anybody back here? I saw a lot of nods when I was speaking, but maybe you're just kind of thinking and reflecting, and I understand that. But I really think this is something we need to look at in ourselves. And it's very, it's personal, and it's also communal. Of what to really look at, what am I holding on to, or what is getting in the way of us receiving what the Spirit, how the Spirit wants to move and work in our community. Yes, Captain.
I don't think it's any of those things. I don't think we're a nostalgic group, and I don't think we're half fatigue or indifference. We're just aging.
Okay, that's...
God never changes. So we can count on the structure being secure. We change. And the way that we see the church and our congregation changes, we have to be realistic about who we are and how we function and what our goals are. And we need to accept the fact that we don't have the energy level we have to play.
Well, that's what I meant by fatigue, and you did bring up something really important, and this is something that churches all across America, regardless of denomination, are facing, is the aging members of the congregation, which does lead to fatigue, because like you said, we don't have the energy that we had 20, 30, 40 years ago. So let me ask you this. What if all of a sudden you came to church one Sunday and there were 15 to 20 younger people sitting in the back? What would you do?
Welcome
them, yes, okay, of course. But what else? Would we leave and go to brunch? Or would we really sit here and engage with them and be willing to answer their questions? What if they're really seeking? Would we take the time to be with them to nurture them, to mentor them. So this is something because this is happening in a few areas. Now, we're not really in that kind of demographic, but you never know. Where Carmel is mostly a retirement community. But just what if that happened? I remember a particular incident many years ago that there was a church and someone had died, and they asked the local pastor to come and, you know, lead the funeral. And what came out of that, because it was a young person who had died, is that the elders in that group began to make lunch for them, and they would come and have lunch with them and just talk. It was sort of a mentoring, just an older adult who was there to listen to them. So this, you never know what can happen. But if we're not open and listening, we could miss the opportunity because we have other things to do. And so I think these are questions that are really important for us to look at, or some other things is like, oh, well, that's not how we do things. And would we allow certainly we have, as the Episcopal Church, we do have a tradition, but would we allow them to take over leadership eventually? Or we say, no, this is mine. So these are things that each of us as an individual need to look at in ourselves, and also to be aware that anything can happen. Anything. And are we willing and ready to let the Spirit move, to raise the dead, and to call them out to follow Jesus? Amen.
Amen.